How? To do it with love. Having a great attitude in every aspect of your life isn't always the easiest thing to do. Especially over this past year, it's been pretty clear that we're not always finding positivity everywhere. And the pressures of the world often lead us to having a difficult time with showing love, projecting love towards those around us, and carrying ourselves in a way that impacts others around us positively. My guest this week is a father, a coach, a fitness enthusiast, but most importantly, he's an all-around great human. This week, I'm speaking to my friend and fraternity brother, Ryan Harrington. I've known Ryan for the better part of the past 8 or so years, and part of my journey has been incredibly positively affected by Ryan. You see, I've always, in many ways, looked up to Ryan. Anytime I've ever had a conversation with him, he's always had this really, really good outlook. And part of what I've learned along the way is that Ryan didn't always have a positive outlook. He, like many of us, has dealt with various struggles with either his fitness journey, his body image, things in his personal life. Now, Ryan has taken the lessons that he's learned throughout his life, and he's now using those lessons to project positive vibrations to his social media feed, to his children, to the people around him. And it's quite inspiring to see people like Ryan trying to add a small glimpse of light in a digital space that can oftentimes be pretty dark. I think you're really going to enjoy my conversation with Ryan, not only because you'll learn about how Ryan's positive attitude has helped get him through some dark times and how his drive has helped him get through some dark times. But hopefully you'll walk away with a little bit of inspiration for how you can add positivity into your life and how you can do it with love. My name is Rich Sabata, the founder and editor of BodegaBody.com, and this is the Bodega Body Podcast.
Yo, smoking on top shelf Guido, and it's all over my hands like Cheetos. All she wanna do is dance in tight speedos. Relax in a mansion like the Migos. I can't even sell the shit that I smoke. This shit costs bands like the Beatles. And we watch movies like it's Regal. Then go cash out on seafood. Send her home with a quarter ounce of diesel. Girl, that boy don't even feed you. Yeah, he solidly spread it like the measles. I feel like these niggas want competition with me. And I only compete with myself. This for the niggas who stuck to the mission with me. I got dev hair up in the kitchen with me. Got the oven on 450. I got an ounce of Gorilla Glue.
So, with me today, I have an incredible human being and one of the most positive spirits that I have ever probably encountered. He's an educator and a fitness enthusiast. Please welcome Ryan Harrington. Ryan, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
How have you been I ask everyone this, and I feel like every time I talk to someone, how have you been the last couple of months specifically with the world in flux in the way that it is?
Well, obviously everyone is having a very similar experience with what's going on.
Yeah.
I think what makes it different for each of us is how we are reacting to all of the change. And to be completely honest, I've been finding so much peace in my life over the past few months. I think given the opportunity to slow down and actually clarify what is important in my life has really helped me to make some pretty big changes in my life in terms of personal growth, professionally, and, you know, change is hard.
Yeah.
And I think at the beginning, back in March, when everything really started to happen, I came to understand that I had to find a better way to process what was happening and process my feelings about what was happening. Yeah. And how I've best done that in my adult life has been through physical activity. So I just decided to start doing a daily challenge for myself, and you know, somehow get a 5K done every day.
Wow.
Whether it's walking, running, crawling, however I could get those 3.12 miles in, I just decided that that's what I was going to do to help clear my mind and keep my body working. So, you know, I've been in my adult life, I think I've been the best that I've ever been in the past few months. And I know that's not the same for everybody. I know it's really a hard time, especially for people who have been directly affected by COVID and had any family members. I'm fortunate because I live in upstate New York that it hasn't been too bad for us up here.
Yeah.
And I don't know anyone personally affected. Mm-hmm. So I know that my experience is much different than other people's experience in the past few months.
Yeah, no, it's definitely affected us all. I think in our own ways. I think when we first went into this, there was this, especially I was talking to a lot of coworkers about this, how the very first concern, especially for us down here in New York City, was, am I going to be safe? Are my loved ones going to be safe? How is this thing going to affect us? And I think we were all sort of moving in this kind of panicked direction because we're like, okay, we don't know what this is. We don't know what's going to happen next. That we kind of forgot in many ways to think about our mental health. And I think what we've started to see is people not knowing how to cope with a lot of those things. So I think it's incredibly admirable that for yourself, you sort of took that and you're like, no, I'm going to create this sort of challenge for myself to do 5K a day, which by the way is great. And from the posts that you've been making on your personal social feed, I've noticed that you're doing a lot more than 5K. You're doing like 6, 7, 8, 9 miles a day on some of these days when you're walking, running, whatever you're doing. Over the many, many years that we've known each other, I've always kind of known you to be a very active person. So what is your relationship with fitness been through your life? Like, how did you first discover that you were into being active?
Sure. So I kind of blame my mom for getting me involved in physical activity. You know, as a kid, your parents obviously want you involved in something. And my mom was really into us being a part of baseball. But I came to understand very quickly as a kid that I did not care for baseball all that much. The attention span that's necessary as a baseball player is not something that was not a strength of mine. I have a very short attention span and my brother fared much better in the baseball world than I did. So I was really more school oriented, more introverted, more reading books at home as a kid. But once I became a teenager, I hit that angsty stage where, you know, I would come home from school, nothing was ever good enough and right. And my mom was like, listen, you got to find something to do after school because you are way too angsty and you need to burn off some of that energy. And so she forced me to choose an after school activity and she didn't have any specific rhyme or reason to what I had to do, but I chose swimming. It was the thing I loved to do most in the summertime. And it's kind of an individual sport and a team sport all in one. And it lent itself to my attention span, you know, hop in, swim a few laps and get out at a swim meet. That's about all I needed for my attention span. So I hopped into swimming in middle school and then I swam all through high school and through college. But then once I left college, I left the structure of physical activity, which was a huge transition for me. You know, having been a college athlete and having the structure of basically from August to February, from preseason to postseason, I was physically active and didn't have to think about keeping my body well on my own. Because then in the off season, you know, you kind of just hung out and let your body recover and enjoyed your life a little more. But you also had the summers in between where most of the time, in my experience in upstate New York, that's the time when you're most active because it's the nicest weather. Yeah, so once I graduated from college, you know, I put on a lot of weight and I really wasn't taking care of my body, which also comes along with not taking care of my mental health. And, you know, I jumped right into a career that was very active in terms of higher education. I was a residence hall director, so I was always busy running a residence hall. So I actually just started doing a little bit of running here and there. And then I kind of got addicted to that in that I liked the feeling and the clarity that came with running. I was able to really just go out for 20 minutes at that time and just clear my mind and center myself and de-stress, but also take care of my body. So ever since then, I think that was around maybe 2005.
Okay.
I've really considered myself a runner. And I've dabbled back into swimming laps here and there when I can. But really it's been running that's helped me find a balance for myself in my adult life. And, you know, I've picked up weight training because as we get older, it's important to build that muscle mass to obviously stabilize our joints, strengthen our bones. So I've done some weightlifting and dabbled in CrossFit for a little while. Okay. And then unfortunately I had an injury. I broke my leg one winter.
Oh gosh.
And yeah, that kind of put a damper on my running, which is part of why I've gotten back into running so much since March in this COVID time, because I just wanted to get back to something that was really important to me and that helped me on multiple levels.
Yeah. I think a lot of what you're talking about is something that I hear often from people's relationship with fitness, in that it's a lifelong journey, right? And for a lot of people, like yourself, you're a college athlete, you're always active. And then once you lose that structure, you kind of have to do sort of this rediscovery with what it means to sort of be active with yourself and how to keep yourself, your very healthiest self, and kind of define and redefine sort of what that means. And I think a lot of people struggle to find that oftentimes. And I think a lot of people, once they don't have that sort of team anymore, especially when they're no longer a part of a college team, they struggle to find that community. Are you a part of any kind of community? Do you run with other people? Do you encourage other people to run? Tell me a little bit about that.
Sure. So I'm a fitness instructor. I teach spinning classes. So I work with the local YMCA here. Cool. And we have a Facebook group where, you know, when we have local events coming up, especially 5Ks, 10Ks like that, I'll throw those events in that group to encourage people to cross train. I think that's really important when it comes to fitness, is that we can't really continue to move our body in the same way every day.
Of course.
Because we need to challenge our body, one, but number two, give our body a break. It needs that recovery time. So if you're constantly sitting on a spinning bike, that repetitive motion eventually may cause an injury in your body if you're doing it too much.
Yeah.
So I like to support people in cross-training opportunities. And we have a local running group here. And we also have a Facebook group for that where we post just different opportunities in the local area.
I love that.
And I used to be a person who only ran by themselves because I liked the self-reflection piece. But this year, I had a friend reach out to me in the local area who wanted to do this 1,000K run across Tennessee.
Wow.
It's a virtual race. And her and I knew each other through the volleyball community. And we've been running with each other since this started in May. So it's been really awesome to have that reflection time, but with someone else. We actually talk about a lot of current issues, particularly the Black Lives Matter movement right now, the current state of the world with COVID. Yeah. We really have some really in-depth conversations, and we always look at each other at the end of our hour and a half run and think, wow, that was the fastest 7 miles that I've ever run. Why have I never run with someone before? Wow. But I think what I really tend to do is just make sure that I'm promoting the things that are important to me when it comes to fitness, especially running, on my social media platforms. Because social media has such a good way of encouraging people indirectly. And, you know, people see what I'm doing and it encourages them. If it encourages them to just get up and move their body a little more than they did the day before, it makes me so happy to receive messages that I was feeling so low today, but you posted about the fact that you just went out and walked your 5K a day. And I got up and I meant to do 2 miles, but I did 2.5. And I'm like, that is awesome. That's exactly what we need to be doing.
I'll say that you are, probably being incredibly humble, because I think you're very much underplaying at the kind of positivity that you promote on social media. Every time that obviously I think, especially these days with the state of the world, it is hard to find positivity on social media. Really, really hard to find positive. I mean, I'm guilty of that myself. And there is this one thing that's clear for people who are friends with you and your family and who are connected with you, that you try and you make this like very conscious effort into putting positivity into the world and into the virtual space. And you resonate that. Anyone who's ever had a conversation with you, I think, could also say the same thing, is that you radiate sort of this positivity. Where do you think that comes from? Where do you think that your attitude and your outlook was born out of?
It absolutely comes from a time when I was not that way. If you go back through my social media platform and look at like 2011, 2012, there was a time when I was literally the person who only spent time complaining. You know, nothing was right. And I've always had a beautiful life, but what I was focused on in life was not the beautiful things. And I wasn't using the platform. I wasn't being true to myself. I was focusing on the things that were difficult rather than the things that were easy. I was focusing on the things that basically made people feel sorry for me rather than the things that I was blessed with. And, you know, there's two sides of social media, in my opinion, is that you can use it as a space to be kind, to be positive, to help change the world in a good direction, or you can use it as a place to bring people down and tear ideas down. And I didn't want to be that person. And I made the conscious decision to just focus on something new every day that I was grateful for. Yeah. It actually started with a gratitude practice. And, you know, that turned into noticing that people were reacting to that positively. And my life was reacting to that positively. The more I focused on the positive things and the positive messages I was putting out into the universe and the world, the more positive interactions and positive things that were happening to me. And so I essentially became addicted to being happy and positive, and it feels better. And the thing about that too is that not every day is positive. Not every interaction obviously is positive.
Of course.
But I try to find the positive in every day, in every interaction. And the most important thing to me is actually the kindness piece. You know, if, you know, we're having a lot of tough discussions in our society right now with what's going on in our country and in the world, but it's giving us the opportunity to remember the human side of all of this and how important it is to be kind, because we might not believe the same things, but we don't have to tear each other down because of that. And there's certain ways to interact where we can better educate one another by using kindness and being thoughtful.
I'll say that you actually took the words right out of like the tip of my tongue, because I was thinking that one of the hardest things for me recently, and one of the things that I've been actively trying to sort of realize, is that everyone that you're dealing with, in terms of a lot of the difficulties and the difficult conversations that we're having, is another person. And that person is raised with their own perspective and have their own worldview, and they have feelings and emotions. And at the end of the day, if you drill down to what everybody wants, it is safety, it's security, it's happiness. Now, I think oftentimes things get clouded, and we lose focus in terms of the greater good, and we lose sight of the fact that we are all simply just other people kind of just trying to get by and trying to live the best that we can. And I've been having conversations with people who I didn't expect to have super deep conversations with. I was like having a conversation with a police officer the other day, and I was talking about trying to get to the deepness of the humanity, and trying to say that you feel attacked right now, but the way you are feeling is the way that an entire group of people have felt their entire lives.
Absolutely.
And we were able to end off on a pretty good place. And I think that you can argue about semantics about how things manifest themselves, and you can argue about semantics about how conversations are held. But remembering the humanity, I think, is the very most important thing to keep in mind when you are out there interacting with people. And I think I can also resonate with the fact that putting out positivity is incredibly addicting. Because when I started the Bodega Body project, it was all about me coming out of this incredibly great depression where, to be honest, I didn't know if I wanted to live. And I didn't, like, I was in such a deep hole that I needed to crawl myself out of, that made me realize, like, there are definitely other people out there that are dealing with this. And on the top layer, there's the sort of view of health and fitness and wellness and nutrition and all those things that are incredibly important. But beneath that, there is this sort of mental health layer that I think is just as important, if not more. And so part of the reason why I started the podcast now is so I can have people tell their stories and have people of all walks of life tell that story, right? I want to talk to people who have dealt with different things, from the person who's always been an athlete to the person who has grown into it. So it's been fun on many different levels to try to get to hear people's stories in that sort of sense.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm so proud of you for the work that you've done in your life. And the fact that you've been comfortable enough to share your life with other people, that's a scary thing. Yeah. And to admit our weaknesses or those things that scared us enough to keep us hidden from ourselves is a huge, huge deal. And I'm so proud of you. And I'm so glad that our paths cross at Oneonta, that we have the relationship that we have. And I'm so grateful that we get to talk about this all today, because, you know, what we have to say is going to impact other people and help people think differently about themselves. Yeah. And you're completely right. When it comes to our mindset, that may be the most important part of our health and wellness journeys, is how we perceive ourselves and what we believe our capabilities are and are not.
Yeah. And I'll say that, like, you've known me for long enough to where you've seen me go through a couple of different health journeys. I remember very distinctly living in Oneonta one summer. And I think that summer was probably my most active I had been. And I was just walking around all summer doing tours on campus. And I had maybe lost like 10 pounds that summer. And I remember realizing, like, oh, this feels good. And I also remember realizing everyone saying, oh, Rich, you look good. And then somewhere along the lines, like, I had my senior year and I drank way too much and I kind of forgot about all that. And I let the busyness of life sort of take over, which I think a lot of people sometimes do, maybe not consciously. And then there was sort of what I call like the big health journey, which was sort of like 2 years after college, when I was like, okay, I'm getting in shape for my brother's wedding, because he like essentially dared me into it and was poking fun at me for me to do so. That I then became the person that I am today. And it's, I'll tell you, the journey is long and it's hard and it's continuous. It's something that I deal with all the time. Like, I still have a lot of issues with my body, like mentally, that I work through all the time. And just because I lost 130 pounds doesn't mean that I'm not self-conscious. And the losing of weight isn't necessarily going to change that. Have you ever worked through anything like that? Have you ever gone through anything body-wise or emotionally that you've tried to work through, at least with fitness?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, similar to you, I've had multiple journeys. I'm slightly older than you. So I've lived a little bit more life, but I've also had similar journeys. Like I said, you know, finding that structure after college was important, because I really wasn't feeling good about myself. But I struggled in college too, even as a college athlete. You know, when you are a male in a sport like swimming, and you're also someone who wasn't really raised to be confident, I had a lot of body image issues. You know, my body didn't look like a swimmer's body should look, you know. I was a little softer. I wasn't chiseled. I didn't have abs, you know. I'm just this tall 6'5" country kid that just likes carbs and just happened to like swimming. Fair. But, you know, I did in college, I struggled with body image significantly, partially because of who I am as a person, as a gay male as well. The messages that I received at that time when I was trying to figure out who I was that you had to have a certain body type in order to be attractive. So I struggled with some disordered eating in college. And I was able to work through that, thankfully, with a very supportive coach and supportive adults in my life. But then even after college, you know, my weight has fluctuated. And, you know, I'm recently down 30 pounds since all of this pandemic happened.
Wow. Congratulations.
Not because of the fact that I needed to lose weight. What it is that I've yo-yoed so much in my adult life because I focused on weight being the only indicator of my health. And basically obsessing on a number saying, oh, I used to weigh 190 pounds when I was in college. Oh, I used to weigh this much 10 years ago. Oh, just last year I weighed this much. And I obsessed on a number and I obsessed on the fact that there was this ideal for myself. What I've come to understand these past 4 or 5 months is that I needed a mind shift. I needed to focus on other indicators. Now, I work in fitness, and this is something that I preach in fitness, is that weight is not the only indicator of your health.
Of course.
There's so many other indicators of being a healthy individual. Your body size and your weight are just two pieces of that puzzle. And I finally feel, after a lot of self-reflection and having the time to self-reflect in these past few months, that I get it for myself. You know, I still focus on my weight being an indicator, but I don't obsess over it. I now take the time to think about how I actually feel in the morning and determine then, well, is today a good day for my body to actually run?
Love that.
Should I be running? How does my leg feel that I injured? How does my mind feel? Do I need a little bit more to push myself today? Do I need a little bit less? How's my nutrition been? Did I eat enough protein yesterday? Am I feeling weak? Did I nourish myself well enough? So these past few months have really helped me understand that that number on the scale helps me keep myself in check rather than determine my worth and my ability as a person.
I love that. I absolutely love that. I'll say that as a person who got into the habit early on in his fitness journey of weighing himself every day, and I probably weighed myself every day for the first, I'll say, 100 pounds that I lost, because I wanted to continue working to something, and like watching the numbers drop was like my measurement of success. And going from 334 pounds to probably at my lightest, I was like 198. You start to realize like, oh, there's only so much more I can lose, or I should lose. But then there's the other part of what now, and what's going to be the thing that's going to keep me motivated. And for me, eventually it became hitting new benchmarks in physical activities. So for me, it became about like, okay, can I get my leg press stronger? Can I make my hit this, you know, 4 miles in the next, you know, in under 40 minutes, because I'm a very slow runner. I am not a fast runner at all. But for me, the gradual progress is what always makes me sort of happy.
Right.
So I love that you are using the physical feelings as also sort of these benchmarks for how you are feeling, and the true gauges for your health. And the weight thing is, as you said, it's one of the metrics that you look at, but it's not the complete picture of the actual
right.
sort of health piece. I have to ask, as a 6'5" man who runs, how do your knees feel?
This time around, now that I'm back to running, and I was actually running at my heaviest weight I've ever been, mm-hmm. They've been a little bit rough, mm-hmm. In terms of not necessarily pain, but they're the first things other than my ankles to really start to feel, the workout that I'm in.
Yeah.
But I've come to understand to work out with my body rather than against my body. Mm. So I actually, a lot of my runs include walking intervals because I listen to how my knees and ankles are feeling, because the last thing I want to do is injure myself significantly or at all, and not be able to be active.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's important for all of us to understand, is that our bodies are going to be different every single day, every time we try to do something. And the most important thing is to listen to that body and do what you can with it in that moment.
Yeah.
So yeah, my knees, especially, I used to be really good at running downhill. But during my 9.5 mile run yesterday, I had to walk downhill because my knees said, Ryan, we need a break.
Yeah. That's fair. Actually, I think that's a really good way to approach running. It's how one I do it, because I can't go 4 miles straight just running. So a lot of what I do is that, like, I'll run my first mile, get really good at running that first mile and making that first mile faster. And then I do like intervals of like walking and then sprinting and then walking and then sprinting and then walking and then sprinting. And I've actually loved that pattern. And at that now, I do like 4 to 5 miles of that. And it'll take me a bit to get through it, but I'm like, no, I'm going to do this. Yeah. And like, especially now with COVID and really running, besides jumping around in my living room being the only option, has been incredibly enjoyable. So that's, I think, one way that someone can, jump into it. I want to talk a little bit about your family, because I know that you are the father to two gorgeous little girls. How is your understanding of health and fitness? How are you, if at all, having those conversations with your little girls, and in terms of how to stay healthy, how to stay active, but also do so in a healthy manner? Because I think having female friends my entire life, I've known that there's a lot of worldly pressure out there for women to look a specific way or to exercise a specific way. Do you have those conversations with your daughters?
Yes, absolutely. As a family, constantly remind not only our children, but ourselves not to comment on other people's bodies. Mm. You know, even watching a TV show, right? We catch ourselves as adults sometimes making an observation or a judgment based on someone's body on TV. Mm. And then we check ourselves right within our family dynamic and say, that really wasn't appropriate for me to say. Because I don't know that person and I don't know how they feel about their body. Mm. You know, our kids are preteens right now. So we know that, this is about the time where they start to feel pressure in school about how they look and who they are. So we constantly have discussions about how they relate to one another and what they say to one another. Yeah. Especially in terms of their bodies. And you know, they've taken note of my recent weight loss. and they see, you know, my kids are on social media, but through their mom's account. Mm-hmm. So it's monitored. So they see my daily running posts. They see my motivational posts. Okay. And it's been really awesome because my one daughter is getting into running. Oh. Like, we're talking about 11-year-olds yeah. who the most they want to run is up and down a basketball court.
Yeah.
And this girl, I'm so proud of her. Like, she just one day decided, because she was home from school, that she wanted to go out and run up and down their hill.
Oh my gosh.
And that's what she does every day. She does 1.5 miles. And she tells me every day, she's like, "Dad, I went out and I ran today."
Oh my gosh.
And I'm like, "That's so awesome. I'm so proud of you." And I attribute part of that to her ability to recognize that it's something that she loves to do. Mm-hmm. And that it makes her feel good.
Yeah.
And partially because I talk about it all the time and I post about it all the time. But the other piece of that is the ability to do the things that we love, right? Yeah. So that same daughter recently, she was a part of a travel softball league. Mm-hmm. And the league is actually out of the Binghamton area. So she has to do some significant traveling.
Yeah.
And she recently had a conversation with her mom and she was like, "You know, I like playing softball, but I don't really like traveling every weekend." And, you know, she was able at 11 years old to feel comfortable enough to say, "This is not something I love doing. Wow. I'd rather not do it right now." And that makes me so proud as a parent to know that us as parents are leading by example, because that's something that we have been talking a lot about in our family, is about doing the things that we love and that bring joy to us. Yeah. And she's been able to pick up on that message and feel comfortable enough to share that. And then our other daughter, she is into swimming, which I love. It's a great blessing to have kids who find the joy in the things that you found joy in or find joy in. And I'll never forget why she fell in love with swimming. And the reason why that was is because we went to a hotel. We were at a hotel for a family trip and the hotel had a pool and they've loved swimming their entire lives, just like playing around in the pool. And she decided that she wanted to swim across the pool and she wanted me to time her. So she did it. Once I timed her and she's like, "Okay, I want to beat my time."
Wow.
This girl, she did 15 laps in this pool and dropped her time every single time. You know, wow. Like hotel pools are not that big.
Right.
So to be able to drop half a second, a second, but 15 times, we looked at her and we said, "Would you like to join a swim team?" Like, that was really good. Like, her form was good. Yeah. Her competitive edge was good.
Wow.
I was like, "I was a swimmer. Like, I could help you with swimming if you want to join the team." And now she swims for the local Y team.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
She loves it. And that was all because she took an interest and challenged herself.
Wow. I'm like, my heart is all like warmed and I feel like all fuzzy on the inside now at that. That is so incredibly sweet. And obviously, like, I think that is a good sort of indicator at the how positive of an influence of a parent that you're being. It's great. And it's incredibly inspiring. I have three little nephews. I don't have any kids yet, but I have three nephews. And I've always kind of been like the cool uncle who like was into video games and like loves the same things that they love. And I think more outwardly, one of them who actually reminds me a lot of myself when I was a kid, who was like a little bit shy, loves, you know, playing around in the kitchen, loves like, you know, experimenting with food and loves all those things, but isn't necessarily very active. He doesn't necessarily like or care about sports. My sister was telling me a story about how he told her one day, he's like, "You know, I want my hair to look like Tio Richard's hair. So Tio is uncle in Spanish. I want my hair to look like him, and I want to be like him. And I was like, oh my gosh, like to think that like something like silly like hair could be that much of an influence. So one of the things that I've been trying to figure out for the past number of years is how through the cool uncle sort of mentality and through the cool uncle lens, I can start talking to the boys about health and how to talk to them about fitness and how to approach so in a healthy way. Because I think when I was younger and I was heavier, you know, basically my entire life, I wouldn't always get the best positive affirmations around my appearance. And I don't think it's something that I was ever from family done with malice. And I always think it came from a place with love. But I don't think my family for a very long time learned how to have those kinds of conversations. And to a certain extent, I don't know if they still do. So it's great to see that that there are people out there that are influencing kids in this sort of positive way. And I'm figuring out a little bit day by day on how to do that, but it's definitely, when I'm not there all the time for my nephews, you know, it's a little bit more difficult.
Right. Well, and honestly, in my family dynamic, it's a team effort. Like the girls as moms, you know, we were all previous athletes. We all continue to be active in our older age and role models. You know, we're into volleyball, we're into running, we're into doing local 5Ks and going hiking on the weekends. You know, we try to live a very active lifestyle. And their moms are a huge, huge influence in who they are and how they see themselves and how they see themselves in this world. And I think as parents and also as anyone who has any sort of influence in a child's life, it's so important for us to empower them to use the gifts and just to use the gifts that they've been given to strengthen their worlds, right? Because sometimes we want our kids and the kids that we influence to be like us, but they're never going to be exactly like us. We have different treasures and different skills that they bring to this world. Yeah. And I think our influence is to help them realize their power and to realize what they bring to this world. And I love the family dynamic that we have because we all just vibe on the same energy level. We all have the same conversations. You know, it's two moms, two daughters, and a dad. And it's just like five people who are just on the same wavelength when it comes to health and wellness, parenting, family dynamics. And it's really awesome. I'm really blessed.
I think those two girls are incredibly lucky to have such awesome and just straight up dope, you know, parents, such as the three of you. So that's really, really cool to hear. Is there anything that you would tell the much younger version of Ryan today, about both the physical and the mental journey that you had to undertake?
Yeah, of course. You know, the most important thing that I've come to learn is that my body is something that is special, and that how it looks and how it moves is very unique. excuse me. And the most important thing to remember is that you love yourself. And you take all of the messages, I would tell myself, you take the messages that you're receiving from society, from media, from people in your life, and you filter that out. I've always been a very emotional person, I've come to understand. I'm very empathic. So I've really burdened myself a lot with other people's feelings about me. And I've taken that on and internalized it sometimes and made it my reality. But what I would tell myself is to filter out all of those messages, take from the messages what is meant to be taken, and then let go of the rest. Because the body that I have is the only body that I get. And the way that I treat it has to send the message that I care about it. And I don't think I've always done that in my adult life. And now that I'm where I'm at, I'm completely satisfied with living every day happy, with how I'm feeling and happy with how my body is in the moment in that day.
I love that. What's next for Ryan?
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. I'm having some people are calling it a midlife crisis.
Oh my gosh.
I'm calling it a midlife transformation.
Love that.
Because Rich, I'm telling you, these last few months have been the most clarifying months of my life. Yeah. I've really spent my time in self-reflection and meditation, finding out what is important to me and what makes me fired up about life and what makes me happy. And what I've come to realize is that the work that I was doing professionally was not bringing me the joy that I need in my life to be motivated every day. So I actually recently left my college administration job. And I'm currently unemployed. I'm actually ending my first week of, I call it vacation. I'm just on a vacation right now. Because I've clarified that what's important to me is finding work that impacts other people positively, specifically around health and wellness. So my next professional journey is looking at becoming a certified life coach and working with people specifically looking for someone to help them with their health and wellness. And so I'll be taking on a certification. I hope that that'll lead into a business venture. I would love to create the opportunity to have my own business. So that's professionally. On the personal side, I'm also applying to be on Survivor.
Oh my gosh.
I've been a huge fan since it came out in 2000, which is the year I graduated from high school. Wow.
Dating yourself a little bit.
I know. Hey, I'm making almost 40 look all right, I guess.
Yeah, you're looking good.
Thanks. And, you know, I fell away from the actual TV show for a while only because life happened and whatnot. But the past few seasons, I've gotten back into it. And I just feel like an ideal contestant on that show. Like, I have a lot to say once you get me started. As you can tell, we're already almost an hour into this. But the whole strategy piece of the game, the ability to influence the world by using your personality and your strengths. You can, you know, when you have a platform such as a reality show or a television show, a podcast, like you can influence people. Yeah. And that's the kind of impact I want to have on this world. And I will take any opportunity I can to share the journey that I've had. And to share who I am, to help other people realize their power. Because when people realize their power, they influence other people in their circles.
Absolutely.
And the thing I think the world needs most right now is more people coming into their positive power.
I love that.
So if I'm going to go on Survivor to do that, then I'm going to go on Survivor to do that.
I love that.
And win $1 million.
Because, well, you know, who couldn't use $1 million?
That's right.
Yeah, I'll say that, like, I don't have a big platform at all, but I've gotten a couple of messages recently. Someone that mentioned, I lost 50 pounds partially because of reading the things that you put out. Or I've been vegan for a month and I absolutely love it. I love my relationship with food and I'm thinking about my food. Thank you for writing the things that you write. And every time I get those little things, I'm just like, oh my God. And like, you know, the people that are engaging love it. And that's all I need to know is that at least one person was able to get something from me, like, you know, babbling in front of a microphone or like rambling into my keyboard in the middle of the night. So
yeah,
I can feel that.
We never we'll never know the true impact we have on this world, but a piece of this whole thing for us, I believe, is that appreciation piece. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you didn't get where you got without guidance, without support, without people who love you, supporting you through it. Same with me. And when we come to appreciate those things, it opens up, I believe it opens up this piece of us that just gives us the permission to share ourselves with other people. And when we share our authentic selves with other people, it impacts them. Oh, yeah. And I'm right there with you. Just a simple message of, I went out to walk a mile and I walked a mile and a half today because I read that you ran 3 miles. I was like, snaps to you, girl. Yeah. I'm proud of you. Like,
yeah.
If you're doing anything, I'm proud of you. But then you do a little bit more than you expect of yourself. You better be proud of yourself because it is hard to motivate yourself. It can be hard to motivate yourself.
Yeah. Definitely. So yeah, no, it's true. And the community, like you said, having those around you also help a lot. I tell my brother this often. I was like, you knew, you might not have actively known, but you knew that poking fun at me and getting me mad was going to be the thing that finally got me to lose weight. And yeah, I got mad because he knew that I'm a person who, when I have a point to prove, I will go prove that point. And I was like, no, I can be a badass. And yeah, so like, you know, everyone, you know, find the thing that's going to unlock your inner badass because, you know, that once you find that, you'll truly be able to start working to your best self, no matter what that looks like, no matter what measurement of success that you're using. You got to just do what's right for you.
Absolutely.
Well, once you start your own business, let me know. I will share it with the world and I will let them know.
Thank you so much.
But I loved catching up with you. I loved hearing your perspective. Do you want to share your social handles? I usually have like people who have like promote them, you know, promote their whatever, but if you have something that you want to promote, let me know.
Yeah. If people want to look me up on Facebook, that's the best way to connect. Ryan Harrington, probably the Oneonta Network, is the best way to connect with me right now.
Cool. Sweet. Well, thank you so much, Ryan. And I hope you have a wonderful day and I hope to catch up soon.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was awesome.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Bodega Body Podcast. My name, of course, is Rich Sabata. Please go follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rich Sabata. You can also follow me at Bodega Body on Twitter and Instagram. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to rich@bodegabody.com. Just want to give a special thanks to my friend David James for providing the music for the intro and outro to this week's episode. You can find David on SoundCloud, Apple Music, and Spotify. Once again, that's David James with a $ for the S. Thanks all. See you next week. Gotta smoke, wiping out the competition. They know David had the dope, couldn't walk in my butters. They only fit G's. Nigga, my wrist freeze. Niggas play Superman and get Chris Reeve all from a text message. I have your girl on you. You be.
stretched out before you send your next message. I don't like niggas, beat around the bush for what? I'm really nice, nigga, ask around and look them up. I'm in a deli with a bottle trying to see what's goody. Yeti side, streets cold, you gon' need your
okay, money. None of y'all niggas gon' ride. Niggas say nice and he lied, must be fried. Know where I'm going, nigga, I don't need a god. Married to this money, baby, I don't need a bride. Said all my niggas gon' ride. Niggas say nice and he lied, must be fried. Know where I'm going, nigga, I don't need a god. Married to this money, baby, I don't need a bride.
I feel like a precious pebble lodged under the sea. Since I was 8, I knew a 9 to 5 wasn't for me. Shit ain't always how you want it to be. That's why I gotta work hard. My ancestors had to run to be free. At 15, I was running the streets, drinking liquor, puffing the greets, cutting from school, fucking with freaks. By 21, I was sunk in the seat. G-Ride, bumping some beats, probably looking for something to eat. During my childhood, nothing was sweet. I wore ponies to school. The mother niggas had ups on their feet. It never fazed me though. I knew I was more intelligent, and the gift I had made it even more relevant. When I rap, I touch many like a known therapist, cause I'm packed with more passion than a gold medalist. I say something, they gon' jack it, nigga, no letterman. I can pop at any time, shit, there's no telling it.
Okay, none of y'all niggas gon' ride. Niggas say nice and he lied, must be fried. Know where I'm going, nigga, I don't need a god. Married to this money, baby, I don't need a bride. I said all my niggas gon' ride. Niggas say nice and he lied, must be fried. Know where